It's Monday, the 30th of September, and this is the Monocle Minute today.
For a man like him, a party like this, and a leader like this, this Prime Minister, to talk about morals and morality is a disgrace!
After one of its rowdiest weeks in living memory, can Britain's Parliament tone down the fire and fury? Plus, the sale of New York magazine sparks fears of a culture clash. A new tax law threatens journalists in California, and the new exhibition taking a swipe at super-rich interiors. I'm Ben Rylan in London. The Monocle Minute starts now. Last week will likely be remembered as one of the more difficult sittings in Westminster's history, after that Supreme Court ruling saw MPs rushed back to Parliament. Fury and indignation soon gave way to rising concerns that the tone taken by some members was fueling fears of public safety. Nevertheless, the embattled Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, is vowing to carry on and deliver Brexit. So what can we expect from this week? Joy Ladiko is a journalist and keen Westminster watcher.
It's not going well, but the thing about Boris Johnson is he loves an audience that loves him, and the Conservative Party faithful, these 160,000 members, around 90,000 of them voted him in as leader. And while he's getting a tough reception in the British press, he's getting a tough reception in Parliament, when he finally goes there, he gets people shouting and screaming in adulation when he gets up on stage. Now, he's always been essentially the kind of the warm-up act to the leader at conference, and he's always played to pack houses. There was a famous conference where in 2015 where he was waving a brick and everybody photographed him. And in many ways, he's often upstaged the leader at Conservative Party conference. Here, he will have a warm audience who want to applaud him. And so we'll continue with this sort of strange bifurcation of reality where in his world, everything is going absolutely fine, or in the Conservative Party world, everything is going absolutely fine. And in the outside world, everybody else is going, this is a bit of a mess. I just would point out, though, that of the Conservative Party, of the members of Parliament, about half of them are kind of very vocal in backing Boris Johnson. But if you watch the other half, they are becoming kind of quieter on the benches, finding it a little bit more difficult to come out strongly in support of him. This coming week, there's going to be a lot of rather interesting discussions going on in London amongst what people loosely call the Rebel Alliance, those who want to actually curtail Johnson's power, make sure he stays on the tram tracks, acts in a sensible way for the country rather than for his party. And I would imagine a number of those big players would think London was a more important arena in this coming week than Manchester. Now, also in London, we have conversations about votes for no confidence in Boris Johnson. We have further scrutiny of this bill to find this bill to extend, where there's an anxiety that he's going to try and break that. And there's also, I think my favourite, is talk of impeachment. I mean, rather like Boris Johnson wants to sit up all night with the European Council and have these last minute negotiations, you know, right down to the wire, and he thinks they'll give in. I think that won't happen. But I think what will happen is the equivalent will happen in Westminster, where all the people who are in opposition to him will indeed have a very late night meeting and finally come up with a solution as to how they force an interim government. So there's a whole series of problems with timings. But in fact, if you have a vote of no confidence and produce a new leader who has the confidence of the House within 5 minutes, that person has to just go and see the Queen and the job is done.
Staff at New York magazine are reportedly still concerned over potential job cuts following the publication's sale to Vox Media last week. The Wall Street Journal cited estimated losses of more than $15 million by the magazine's publisher, New York Media, last year. But the new owners of the magazine insist that the sale will not lead to any fundamental changes at the storied publication. Monocle's editor Andrew Tuck says the differences between the companies might actually work in favour of both brands.
Many of these companies that you think of as old media have actually been quite canny and clever in recent years. And New York Magazine is one of them. It moved quite early on into the world of offshoots, digital versions of what it was doing. So it has a thing called Intelligentsia. It It also looks at the worlds of retail. It unpacks itself across lots of other different platforms. So it's not just dependent on the print sale. In fact, it varied the delivery of the print to be less dependent on paper. It became more of a brand. And here's the other interesting thing. When you think of magazines these days that have city titles, many of them are kind of busting out of the city, as it were. So three good brands from New York. The New York Times is a global newspaper. The New Yorker is read as much as I presume in smart bits of London and Paris as it is in Manhattan. And New York Magazine has managed to do that in its own way too. So I know here with the team, I often see people reading things on New York Magazine. You're right, it's an amazing chronicler of the city. But at the same time, it's delivered a kind of long-form journalism that you'd also find in the New Yorker. New York Magazine has been a good, canny company, well led by both editors and its board. So for the Vox, they probably saw a company that brought some advantages to them. It had a proper global play. Because when I look through all the things that, you know, Vox owns, you know, The Verge, great, SB Nation, which is its original kind of roots going back to sports blogging, not particularly sassy global brands in a way. So they've bought in some sassiness, some global clout. And I think the other thing is just scale. All of these media companies, everyone's looking for buddies because they know that the likes of Google have kind of done them down. So I think it's a bit of scale.
To California now, where a new law could carry some unwanted changes for journalists.
As California struggles to legislate and protect workers in the so-called gig economy, freelance journalists and publishers also stand to suffer thanks to a controversial new bill. The law, signed by Governor Gavin Newsom, grabbed headlines for its implications on firms such as Uber and Lyft, but also limits how publishers work with writers, editors and photographers, and limits them to completing 35 assignments per year for each title. This won't affect big newsrooms with a decent budget, but leaves smaller media companies vulnerable and affects editors' capacity to select the best person or right correspondent to tell the story. At a time when US media companies are branded with the enemy of the people by the president, it's crucial that journalists and publishers are supported and protected.
And finally, Monocle's senior editor, Robert Bound, casts his artistic eye at a new exhibition that's skewering garish interiors of the super rich.
Grayson Perry's first commercial show for 7 years at London's Victoria Miro Gallery is titled Super Rich Interior Decoration and features the sort of witty vases that made the artist famous, as well as wall hangings, a rug, and a selection of arch items, handbags, a yoga mat, that are all a little easier on the pocket. From the vibrant colours and clever titles to the uncanny social commentary, it's all Uber Grayson. Come on, darling, it's Freeze Week, and you always call living artists by their first names. This time, however, Perry's faultless crosshairs are trained on that biggest of contemporary art big game, the collectors themselves. Thin Woman with Painting is a vase featuring a cartoonish art maven stultified by a canvas. Shopping for Meaning features Perry himself in drag, looking rich and Xanaxed to hell outside Bond Street boutiques. Large Expensive Abstract Painting is a tapestry emblazoned with woke buzzwords, stitched to resemble that most treasured of contemporary art trophies, a Gerhard Richter abstract. This last work was designed to be an amalgam of dozens of tasteful and expensive abstract paintings that Perry found when he Googled art collectors' homes. Perry is a fine artist. He fires beautiful pots, draws well, and mixes beauty with intellect and the decorative with the significant, with the raw talent of very few others. Perry's work is important to see during this, London's unofficial Art Week, because it comments on the commercial at the same time as being it. While Perry's great gift as a communicator send up the contemporary art world's seriousness for cash and its flaccid critical muscle with gay abandon. Biting the hand that feeds him, or just nuzzling a manicured mitt? Perry's a pots with purpose indeed. For Monocle, I'm Robert Bound.
The always tasteful Robert Bound there. That's all in today's programme. You can read and subscribe to our daily email bulletin at our website, monocle.com. I'm Ben Rylan. The Monocle Minute returns on Tuesday.